We'll be in Hebrews 11 and Genesis 22 today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for this wonderful time that we had of worship and restoration as we sit under the source, the water, Lord, that never runs dry. Fill us to overflowing, Lord. I ask, Lord, a special anointing upon me as I share your word, Lord, for this body, for those listening online, that it would change them, bring forth fruit for your kingdom, that they would purge all that needs to be purged, and they would walk by faith. Open ears to hear, hearts to receive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hebrews 11, I'm not going to go through all of it this time, but just Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it being dead still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him, for before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. We're going to be taken. Amen? We're going to be taken out. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without it, folks, you cannot please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. He is what? He is all in all. Everything. He is. You know, he is. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him, right? That seek him. Now faith, today's faith, not tomorrow, not yesterday, today. Today. Today is the day. Today is the day we walk by faith. Today is we walk by faith and not by sight of carnal eyes. Faith, which is trust, it's confidence, it's fidelity. It's to be fully persuaded. It's to come to trust. It's God's warranty that guarantees the fulfillment of his word. Amen? It's his warranty. It's his guarantee. And it's not revoked by fine print. And I was talking just before church today. And I was talking about just wow. The last few months, this church, what we have gone through and still going through, I can say is wow. Being pressed on all sides, feeling the full onslaught of the attack from the enemy of our soul. It's been intense, folks. It's been intense. This church has been going through quite the trials and testing, really, over the last year. You can see it building. God is allowing these trials, and I believe he's doing that to refine this body of believers. And I can only imagine the testing and trials and the time of pressing that will come on this whole world. Because I can certainly see the tribulation. In this world, you have tribulation. There's thlipsis. It's the crushing. It's the pressing. And our Lord is acquainted with that. I've always called us the Church of Philadelphia. But I'm seeing this come true more and more. The scriptures defining Philadelphia are ringing more true now than they ever have. I know your work. See, I've set before you an open door and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength. And you've kept my word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. That's how you keep. And you have not denied my name. Confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father. Verse 10, because you have kept my command to persevere, a call to perseverance, folks, I will also keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth dwellers. Behold, look, I am coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have, that no one may take your crown. We're going to talk about what you have. What's left? What's left? Because we need to be walking in faith all the more now until he calls us home. And we know the enemy of our soul, Satan, knows he has little time left. We need to be walking by faith, recalling our faith as we are being refined. The refiner's fire increases the temperature, and as it increases the temperature, it removes the dross and impurities. Now is the time to be separate. Now is the time to be holy, consecrated to our Lord. You understand? We need to examine our lives. The Lord is coming. Get ready. Did you hear? The Lord is coming. Get ready. We are living in a season. We know all that is entailed. It's in Bible prophecy. We hear it. We read it. We know it because the truth is inside us. We know there's wrath and judgment coming. We know birth pangs are intensifying. It's evident. The Lord is coming. Get ready. We need to be recalling our faith, living it out all the more as we cling to Jesus. Because why? He's our living hope. It's not dead. It's not in the grave. He's alive. And he's our hope. He's our hope. Your dad is in his presence. He's our hope. That's the hope. You're going to see him again because you have hope that's alive. You have faith that's alive. Walking in faith requires surrender. Surrender and obedience, which means giving up control to whatever we have that's going on. Whatever we want to control that comes in between our walk of faith, what comes between us and the Lord, give it up. Get it out. Seek the Lord with all your heart, not partial. You can move beyond where you're at today. Grow in your faith. Be sanctified. Forget those things that are behind. Press forward. By faith, in Hebrews 11:8, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. God said, go, I'll lead you. You just take one step at a time. The word is what? A lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country. Are we dwelling in a foreign country? You're called pilgrims, strangers, sojourners. You're aliens. Dwelling in tents. What are you dwelling in right now? What is this called? The Bible calls it a tent. You're dwelling in a tent. Ooh, I didn't have that in my notes. That's great. Dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. What are you? An heir. Hallelujah. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Hallelujah. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised, the God of promises. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead were born as many as the stars of the sky and the multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested in verse 17, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Because of that, I want to go to Genesis 22. That's the story. That's what we're focusing on. We're focusing on the hero of faith, Abraham. In 22, he says, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham. He tested him and said to Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. Can you see the place afar off? Woo. And Abraham said, hallelujah. Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, the lad, and I will go yonder and worship and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told them, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its thorns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing will I bless you, and multiply I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. What a story. What a story. Like it or not, where God took Abraham is where he seeks to bring each of us, folks, to a point of total surrender, to a point of total faith and trust in him and no other. In no other. He wants us to surrender to him, and that is a process to get there, folks. It's not easy. We like to control things, don't we? When we are born again in Christ, we begin this long life process of surrendering things to him. Why? Because he called our name. He called our name. He's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Isaiah 43:1, thou who created you, O Jacob, and he formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you, and I have called you by your name. You are mine. You are mine. I am his. He is mine. We are now part of his family. Again, what are we? We are heirs. Heirs. But we read in 22 verse 1, now it came to pass. That is what? After the events, we read from chapter 12 through verse 21, Abraham's life is this process of God stripping him of all that he clung to. Dwelling in tents. Go. Leave. Right now. Go. Until finally he trusted and held to God alone. God's first command was for Abraham to leave his country, leave his relatives, leave his father's house, and basically live as a nomad. Foxes have holes, right? What did Jesus say? Follow me. Over the years, God stripped Abraham of his schemes and efforts to help bring about God's promises. And God had spoken to Abraham numerous times and promised him and made a covenant with him that his offspring would number more than the sand of the seashore, the stars in heaven. But he had to learn to surrender his time. He had to surrender his ambitions, his goals, his desires, his family, all to God. Can we say the same? What do we cling to that we're not really wanting to surrender to him? Amen? Speaking to your heart now. Because as Abraham got older, He and his wife tried to create God's fulfillment of the promise by what? By him laying with Hagar, right? See, when man tries to become God, we just make a mess of things, don't we? Proverbs 14:12, there's a way that seems right to man, but its end is what? Death. The thing is, at the time, it seemed right. It seemed justified. God said this promise, so it makes sense. It's logical. We'll make our own way, and we'll justify it in our mind. Who was the offspring of Hagar? Was Ishmael. There's a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. It's logical, but the reality check is his ways are not our ways. God's promise of a son came true, even in spite of them taking matters into their own hands. Sarah was at the nice age of 90 years old, and she gave birth to Isaac, and Abraham was 100. How about that for you ladies? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you would think, well, God is done here. He's fulfilled his promise, right? Isaac's been born, and that's it. That's the end of the story, right? No, it's not. What? We are told to run the race of faith till the end. To the end. Not just the first heat. To the finals. Okay? God still had much to do in Abraham's life. And we see this story of surrender and faith unfold. This hero of faith. And being a son myself, I know the way my dad looked at me. And being a father of a son, I know the way I look at my son. And during biblical times, the son is whom the name, the blessing, the seed, the family, and the inheritance continues on through. Knowing the importance of Isaac and what he meant to Abraham, future generations, and God's promises, you would all be quite shocked, right? I would have been shocked. I want you to take Isaac and offer him as an offering, a burnt offering for me. What? What? That doesn't make sense. How's that going to happen, God? What's your internal monologue when he asks you? When he talks to you and he leads you and you go, oh, really? Really? Because as we grow in our faith and our trust in the Lord, we start to learn what? His ways, his nature, his righteousness. And we also start to discover ourselves. And I'm talking about our new self. With that old carcass that kind of like gets dragged behind us. You know what I'm talking about? That sin carcass? We start to discover spots in our life that need to be given over to him. He is the potter. And what does he do? He breaks the clay. He breaks it down, right? And rebuilds us. And when there's impurities, like in my ceramics class in college, that's the best example I could get. When there was an impurity, what would happen if there was an impurity in the vase or whatever you're trying to make? When it went to the fire, it would crack, and you have to start all over again. start over. So he breaks us, so we can surrender all to him. And it's rooted in his love. It's rooted in his love. God gives us tests, and it says James 1:2-4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Get rid of those impurities, right? He does test our faith to prove whom our faith is in. Is it in ourselves? Is it in others? Or is it in him? And if we fail that test, it shows us we need to surrender more. We need to trust him more. Every test is born out of that love of God. And I'll show you that in a minute. He alone knows exactly what you need, and he desires for us to be fully surrendered to him, trusting in him alone. And as it gets worse, folks, here, all the more, you understand? All the more to cling to him. He knows our very need. Matthew 6:8b, for your father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. He knows what you need to sustain you. And the Holy Spirit will lead you in all truth. He's inside you. The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave. God not only wants Abraham to surrender his all, in fact, the process of getting him to that point, we see that awesome testimony of faith we just read through. And our process is also to be broken and surrender, become a testimony as well. Why? Because others are watching you. They're seeing what you do. Look at Danielle and Jaden. The trial that they've been going through, and yet she boldly proclaims, "My son, the hand of God is on my son," to doctors. We see Jaden. What doesn't look like things should be working, God. But God. But God. Amen? And God is looking for you to live out your testimony to others. And he used this story of surrender of Abraham with Isaac to illustrate what God himself would do with the son on the cross. Amen. What shall we say these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for all, for us all, how shall he not him freely give us all things? That's not health and wealth gospel, by the way. I'm not talking about here. He gives us everything we need here to sustain us. And the rewards of glory are before us. And this story demonstrates his love in an unforgettable way. God, not by his words, but having Abraham in action, would demonstrate how the nations would be blessed. You have faith and I have works, James says. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by works. We're not saved by works, but there is certainly fruit that should come out of our life. Amen? 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 And Abraham got to experience as close as possible to what God would experience in sacrificing his own son. God was not asking Abraham to do anything he himself would not do. And the way God gives the command shows that he's understanding. He says, take now your only son. Your only son. Wait a minute, I thought he had someone else. No. God looks through. He didn't look at it, Ishmael as Abraham's. It's the one he promised. Your only son. Because I said you'd have a child with Sarah. I didn't say you'd have a child that handmade. Amen? What did God say? When Peter and John were on the mountain, right? Mm. This is my son in whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. So what do you love? Whom do you love? Because he's well acquainted with sacrifice. He's well acquainted with surrender. God wants to take us through that process of surrendering to him everything that is precious to us until we lean on him alone. And this is not easy, and it's painful. But we can be assured that it was rooted in his love. Why? Because John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall have everlasting life." So how do we respond? With obedience. We obey him. And we see in 22:3-10, but Abraham would have rather sacrificed himself rather than his son. Isaac represented the fulfillment of God's promises. He would bless through Abraham, through his descendants, through Isaac. And if Isaac dies, the hope for the promised Savior dies. The hope of all nation dies, right? So Abraham's faced with quite the dilemma. We all come to that fork in the road, don't we? Those decisions, who am I going to trust in? He knew that God loved him and that Isaac was the promised heir. He also knew that God was now telling him to kill Isaac. So how could Abraham move forward? How do we move forward? By faith. That's how it says in Hebrews 11, by faith, by faith. So he goes ahead in obedience to this difficult command. just as Jesus did. Lord, is there another way? But if not, your will be done. Obedience is for our good. Actually, in Deuteronomy, it says that. It says in Deuteronomy 10, it says, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes. That's obedience right there, which I command to you today for your good. He commands it for our good. Obedience is for our good. It shows true surrender. And so Abraham obeys in verses 3 through 4. The next morning, he gets up early. In Genesis 12, Abraham learned to listen to the voice of God. So he rises early the next morning, and he's ready to follow God's commandment. And he does not, there's no delay here. There's no excuses. He doesn't miss anything. He has all that he is required to have. He has a knife, he has wood, he has fire, and he's going to have his son Isaac. We are equipped with everything that we need in this life. God equips us. You'll be found perfect, complete, lacking nothing. You have the equipment you need. Verse 5. I like the focus here. Abraham's not in sorrow. He's not focused on himself or his circumstances. Rather, he's overwhelmed by God. He's overwhelmed with his presence, his majesty, because he's alone worthy. Because what does he say? Abraham says to the young man, stay here with the donkey, the lad, and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. He's looking at the commandment of the Lord as what? There's an act of worship. It's an act of worship. Why do we raise our hands when we worship? It's an act of surrender. It's not about me. It's about him. I surrender all to you. And he has full confidence of God's promises. What does he say here? It reveals it. We will come back to you. He doesn't say, I will come back to you, to the guys, the servants. He says, we, that means Isaac and I, we will come back to you. That's the power of God's word, folks. This is how he can have worship. This is how he has full confidence. Not, he knew God was his shield and his reward. Genesis 15:1 says, after these things, the word Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. The I am is your shield and the great exceedingly reward. My father taught on Genesis 17 many years ago, and he talked about Abram being changed to Abraham and Sarai to Sarah. You see, God changed that name because Abram's name meant exalted father. And he changes it to Abraham, which means the father of many, which reinforces God's promise to God that he would not only have a son through Sarah, but also that he would be the father of many nations. And as for Sarah, changing her name from Sarai to Sarah, it's a little more subtle. She went from princess to princess of many. You see, what he took out was the I and the am, so that they would surrender to the great I am. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. And Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father. My father, he said, I'm here. He looked at the fire, the wood, but where's the lamb? Where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. That's faith on display right there. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God will provide. God will provide. You don't see it. He did not see the ram, but he knew God would provide. And he also knew that he had faith in God, that if he did kill Isaac, because of God's nature and his promises, he believed that God would raise him from the dead. That's what Hebrews 11 says, right? You see, faith outweighs any circumstance this life or this world has to offer. The test of surrender produced patience, and if we stand and believe in faith, then we will be found perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. So they come to the place at which God had told them. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand, he took the knife. But the angel of the Lord came to him and said, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am." "Do not let your hand on the lad or do anything, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." That's patience. Patience is being exhibited. He's in full surrender. He's waiting upon the Lord. He's waiting upon the Lord. And notice, waiting upon the Lord does not mean not taking any action. You understand that? It doesn't mean no action. You see, just as before, no child conceived. Try again. No child conceived. Try again. No child conceived. And then suddenly, Sarah was pregnant and gave birth. Only this time, Abraham is fully surrendered. There's no schemes. There's no detours. Abraham's obedient in all his steps. He built the altar. He placed the wood. And he bound Isaac. And he took out his knife to slay him. And then, standing on promises, standing on faith, obedient, even unto death, God saw his servant willing to surrender all, and he provided. He provided. In fact, if you read it in the King James Version, not the New King James Version, it says, in the King James Version, it says, "My son, God will provide himself, the lamb." My God will provide himself. Do you hear what I'm saying? Three in one. My God will provide himself, the Lamb, Jesus. Because surrender literally means giving our all to another. That person is given full authority. Full authority. And Abraham gave God full authority over his life and his schemes, because God wants your whole heart. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And so once we surrender, what happens? God provides. Because there behind him was a ram caught in the thickets. Because God required sacrifice. And he provided the sacrifice. Just as God would require sacrifice for you and I to enter for the entire world's sin. And only a sacrifice of blood from an innocent, spotless lamb would satisfy the demands of God's holiness and his justice. God demands the death of sin. Wages of sin is death. But that is precisely what he provided for us in the death of his son, who is our substitute. Hallelujah. Abraham was able to look ahead to see how God would provide salvation in the person of his son. It's as if God shared with him the future plan of salvation. And God allowed Abraham to go right up to the point of killing Isaac to illustrate the fact that he would soon, one day, sacrifice his own son for the sin of the world. And just as Jesus would bear his own cross up the same hill, so Isaac bore the wood for the sacrifice on his shoulders. Just as Jesus willingly gave himself in obedience to the Father, found in John 10, 17 through 18, and Ephesians 5, 2, so Isaac willingly submitted to his father. Isaac was at least old enough to carry the wood, and he was probably old enough to resist his father, who was elderly. But his willing submission shows he also trusted both in God and in his father, just as Jesus did. Just as Abraham carried the knife, the fire and the knife, the instrument of death, and would have plunged the knife into the heart of his own son, so there's a sense in which God the Father put his own son to death. As Isaiah 53 says, as he wrote in Christ, that he was smitten by God and afflicted, and that the Lord was pleased to bruise and crush him, as if he would render himself as a guilt offering. It makes it clear that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And just as Abraham loved Isaac, and it pained him deeply to the thought of killing him, so the Father loved the Son, but offered him up for us all. Hallelujah. You see, Abraham could see, as I'm closing here, Abraham could see Calvary. He could see the cross from afar off. Because in Genesis 22, verse 4, it was on the third day that Isaac was brought to the altar. And so the new covenant was confirmed from God on the third day, and the covenant would be completed, all the nations by his seed, on the third resurrection day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One man's willingness to surrender, to walk by faith, not by circumstances, not by logic. God provided our Lord and Savior through that seed so that we might find life in him and life forevermore. He went through that refining, and that's us. Blessed be the God of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, the last days, which you are living in. And in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials. We've been grieved. We're pressed on all sides. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. That the genuineness of our faith, being much more precious than gold, all the gold in this earth compares nothing to the faith that we have in our Lord Jesus. And though it's tested by fire, it may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, it's the hope of what's to come. It's the evidence of things not seen. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, fully trusting, full confidence in the guarantees and the warranty of our Lord, you rejoice, hallelujah, with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. All that is left after the refiner's fire, all that's left is faith. All that's left is faith. Why? Because he's worth it. Right. That faith, folk, that faith leads us. It leads us to the revelation of Jesus Christ, to the salvation of our souls, because one day the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, hallelujah, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with our Lord. Hallelujah. Praise to him. Walking by faith, not by sight. That should give you strength. Strength for the day. Strength for the trial. To see you through. He's faithful. He's faithful. And he does not leave us, nor forsake us. The Lord is with us. And if you don't know the Lord, you can know him today. You can know him today. You can be part of that great cloud of witnesses when he calls us home. You just must first admit you are a sinner and you need a Savior. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. You got to repent. You got to change your ways. Metanoia, change of mind, change of direction. And you must believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart believes, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. As time draws near, you have to call upon the Lord. For whosoever calls upon the Lord will be saved. And he knows. He knows that last moment. He knows when that last Gentile gives his heart to the Lord. And he will call us home. So we shall be with him forevermore. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for the stories of faith that this chapter gives us, Lord, examples to live by. We give you praise, glory, and honor as we go about this week, Lord, that we may help snatch brands from the fire. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed, church.